Welcome to the Middletown United Methodist Church podcast, the perfect way to catch up on previous Sunday sermons.
Well, Joseph was conflicted about the situation that he found himself in. He was engaged to Mary, but before the wedding, she becomes pregnant. Now, Joseph doesn't want to hurt her, doesn't want to embarrass her, so he decides to quietly divorce her, because in those days, engagement was as binding as marriage. However, before he could go through with his plan, an angel appears to him and tells him everything's going to be just fine. Mary's going to have a son. It's going to be conceived by the Holy Spirit, and they are to name him Jesus. And he'll also be known as Emmanuel. God is with us. You know, one of the greatest needs we have as human beings is hope. Hope is what gets us up in the morning. Hope is what allows us to work and to plan toward our goals. Hope is what allows us to look for a future. Hope is what gives us a reason for living. Without hope, we give up. We fall into despair. But our greatest source of hope is Emmanuel. God is with us. And believing that God is with us to face life, to face its challenges, to share in the joys, brings us great hope. God is also with us in our hope, not only for this life, but for the life to come. John Wesley died on March the 2nd, 1791. And on his deathbed, he proclaimed these words: "The best of all is this, God is with us." Of all the things Wesley could have said, of all the things he could have lifted up, he lifted up, "God is with us." And that is our hope. At Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And that's the message that we have for the world. As I look around the sanctuary this morning, there is not a one of you that haven't already heard that message. But there are thousands and thousands in our community who may not have heard that message, nor understand that message. And that's what we have been called to do, is to proclaim the message of hope, the message of hope that is found in Emmanuel, God with us. You know, we also refer to this idea that God is with us as the incarnation. God became human. God became flesh and dwelled among us. Some have interpreted that to say that God moved into the neighborhood. The incarnation is a fundamental doctrine of Christianity. So what is it? Well, it's the belief that God came and lived among us in the person of Jesus. According to the Apostle John, in John's Gospel, he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen the glory of God's only Son, full of grace and truth." The incarnation refers to a great act of love and humility, where God took upon God's self to enter into the world, our world, so that He might know us better and we might know Him. Paul writes to the church in Philippi, "Jesus Christ, who, though was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient. With the incarnation, God became one of us, could identify with us. God could actually and did actually take on our condition, our limitations, our struggles, our doubts. The incarnation also shows us the fierce loyalty of God, that God is committed to us, to love us, to do whatever is necessary to have a relationship with us, even if that means becoming one of us and living among us. The incarnation is a holy mystery, a paradox that's unexplainable. However, it is at the very center of what it means to be Christian. Without the incarnation, Jesus is just another martyred prophet. But because of the incarnation, because Jesus was Emmanuel, Jesus is our Savior. So what does that mean for us today? What difference does it mean for us as we live our lives today that Jesus was God incarnate? That God was born as a baby in Bethlehem? Well, it means that as followers of Christ, we are to be incarnational in our approach to ministry and in the way we live our lives. Not that we are incarnate. We're not God, although Jesus was, and He was Emmanuel. But God is with us, even today with the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives. And we live and we do ministry today incarnationally, which means we are sent to do ministry. And to do ministry which is organic and authentic and relevant. To be incarnational means to be sent. God sent Jesus to be with us. And as Christians, we are to be a sent people, not just a gathering people. After the resurrection, the disciples were gathered behind locked doors for fear of their lives. Jesus came among them and said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I send you." And He breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And so in this sense, Jesus has empowered the disciples and sent them into the world. John Wesley said that the world is our parish. And if we're going to reach the world, we must be in the world. Christians have always been a sent people. From the moment Jesus spoke those words to the disciples in that locked house until today. But unfortunately, somewhere along the line, we become more of a gathering people than a sent people. The church has done everything it can to attract as many people as we can to come to our buildings. We created programs and activities for all ages. We adapted different kinds of worship to attract a different crowd. We've used marketing campaigns, everything from social media to mass mailings. But today, it's very difficult to attract people to church. Unless it's someone who's moved into the community and who's looking for a church, or someone who's looking to change churches. Now, maybe 60 or 70 years ago, the church could just sit back and wait for people to come in their doors, but that day no longer exists, if it ever did. A congregation who wants to be effective today must be a sent people. A people who leaves their building, who is in ministry to people wherever they are. The community's not beating down the doors of churches today, which means we must go where they are if they're not going to come where we are. And sometimes that means being involved in an organized church ministry. But yet, It can be accomplished better if we're simply paying attention to the people in the normal flow of our lives. It's been said, church should happen wherever life happens. You shouldn't have to leave life to be the church. That's worth hearing again. Church should happen wherever life happens. You shouldn't have to leave life to be the church. Church happens in your neighborhood. Church happens on the golf course. Church happens around the bridge table. Church happens at ball games. Church happens at civic clubs. Church happens around the family dinner. Wherever you find yourself is where church should happen. To be incarnational is to be a sent people. To be incarnational is to be organic. God didn't just all of a sudden take over some human adult body and enter the world. No, God came into the world like the rest of us. Now, we have a tendency to romanticize Jesus' birth this time of year with our beautiful nativity scenes. But he experienced everything we did. Jesus had dirty diapers. We don't talk about that much at Christmas time, do we? Jesus spit up on Joseph's best synagogue suit. He was one of us. It was organic. He grew into. He formed relationships organically. He met people and became friends with them. He ate in their homes. He traveled with them. Jesus met people where they are, whether that was in a fishing boat or a tax collector's booth or in their homes. And the most effective way for us to do ministry is to do it organically, not to force it. That is to let relationships grow naturally, not artificially. And if we do ministry organically, we'll do ministry wherever life happens, among family and friends and co-workers and teammates. That means we will be with people in the midst of their lives, in the midst of their struggles and their celebrations. And when those happen, wherever they happen, at work or home or play, we're there to be with them. The most effective and organic ministry happens among people you already know. It doesn't happen among strangers usually. It's those people you already have a relationship with. Because you see, people want to know if God has anything to say to their lives. They want to know if God has anything to say to their day-to-day struggles, wherever they're living their lives. And if you have a relationship with them, you can speak that word into their lives. To be incarnational is to be organic. To be incarnational is to be authentic. And to be authentic means that we truly, really do care about people just for the sake of caring about people. To care about them for who they are as individuals, and for the challenges and the concerns they have in their life. Authenticity means that we do ministry with people without an agenda, without an ulterior motive. That we do ministry with people just because we care about them and we love them. People who do not attend church, whether you know it or not, are very skeptical of the church. And in some cases, for good reason. They always think the church has a hidden agenda when the church offers ministry. This happened during a Touch Twice clinic a few years ago. A friend reported to me that while they were eating lunch with a guest, and while there was someone providing entertainment during lunch, playing religious songs, and the guest said to the volunteer, "Well, I wondered when they would start preaching to us." They came thinking that the church had an agenda. But over the course of the lunch, the guest realized that the music was just there for her enjoyment. The guest came that day thinking there was a hidden agenda. But the authentic witness of the church that day did more than any multitude of sermons could have done. And a seed of the kingdom was planted that day. You see, when the church is inauthentic in its ministries, it does much more damage than it does good. People today can sniff out inauthenticity a mile away. To be incarnational is to be authentic, to really care about people just for the sake of caring. And finally, to be incarnational is to be relevant. The church's ministry, its preaching, its teaching, can be like giving bathing suits to people in the Antarctic. It's a nice gesture. It's interesting, but it's not very helpful. If what we offer is not relevant, we've wasted our time and our resources regardless of how interesting it might be. People aren't interested in ministries that do not address their everyday lives. People want to know if God and the church are speaking anything into their lives, their day-to-day lives. To be incarnational is to be relevant. The incarnation and incarnational living is what keeps Christianity from becoming simply a cult of ritual practices. What we do here on Sunday morning is extremely important. But what is more important is what we do the rest of the week. It's what we do among our family and our friends and our co-workers and our teammates. May our ritual practices on Sunday morning empower us to live incarnationally in the world. Remember, we are sent. We are a sent people to be organic and authentic and relevant. And we're able to do that because of Emmanuel. Because God is with us, empowering us to be His people in this world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to stay connected to Middletown UMC in other ways, you can visit our website, our Facebook page, or download our church app. If you would like to show support to the church and the ministries that help so many, you can use our online giving feature on the website or app. Have a blessed day.